Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, a two-time Pro Bowler, they make the trade for him, and it has been a great pairing instantly. It feels like every single time he's making a play, it's on third down or on fourth and goal. It has been a nice, quick fit. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Emmanuel, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Thank you so much. Let me just say, man, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And the first impression you made around here was what a smooth and easy teammate you seem to be to work with. I mean, you've been plugged into this as if you'd gone through training camp with everyone. So congratulations on the smooth transition.
Thank you. Thank you.
How difficult was the transition for you? Did they do anything to make it simpler for you, or have you been playing long enough that you could handle the switch without even breaking a sweat?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of factors that played into that. I mean, for one, you know, I was excited to, you know, get out here and be a part of Kyle Shanahan's system. In terms of Kyle Shanahan's offensive system, you know, Rich Strangio, my offensive coordinator in Denver, kind of ran similar plays. And then I think it just falls onto the organization in general, and just the energy, and the love, and you know, the positive vibe that they gave me the moment that I entered the locker room. And I think it was also just me, you know, knowing that, you know, I'm going to a new team, and you know, nobody knows what I can do. Nobody really cares about what I did or what I've done in the past. It's all about, you know, what can I bring to the table now, and that was kind of my mindset. In terms of just, you know, just being who I am, you know, from a positive standpoint, and just going out and just making the necessary plays to win ball games, because, you know, stepping in, this team was, you know, 6-0, and I, you know, one thing that I said is I don't want to, you know, come on the team and the moment I enter the team they lose. You know, I want to be a difference maker. I want to, you know, add, you know, a spark to the offense, and you know, I thank God that I was able to, you know, do that.
And that said, I just to follow up. The teams you were most mentioned with when trade rumors were running rampant were San Francisco and New England. So either way, you were going to get to a better situation. Did you dare to hope that either one of those things would happen? Or were you kind of resigned to the fact that you were going to be finishing the year in Denver with a team that's trying to figure out what it is?
You know what? You know, I love the Denver Broncos organization. I love the fan base out there. You know, I won a Super Bowl. I was there for 6 years. But, you know, in the back of my head, you know, I was looking for, you know, a new energy, new environment. You know, I wanted to be in a playoff contention. You know, I am 10 years in the league. I don't know how many more years I'm going to play, but I do know, you know, it's less than, you know, five, less than four. And so, you know, with that said, you know, I want to go out and try to, you know, attain another Super Bowl, try to win another Super Bowl. So I was excited about the opportunity of, you know, having the New England Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers. But, you know, and knowing about Kyle's system, I was excited to get out here with Jimmy. And, you know, it ended up working out. You know, I was, you know, texting Richard Sherman and saying that, you know, it might possibly happen. And, you know, it ended up happening. So it was just amazing feeling. But, again, you know, it was a transition. I got two kids and a wife, and had to move out here. The moment that, you know, I got the phone call that I was being traded, I was on a plane four or five hours later. And, you know, I had to go pick my son up from school and tell him I got traded and not see him for a week and a half. It was a process, you know, but I knew that, you know, at the end of the day, it was worth it, you know, in terms of for my happiness and for my career.
Especially after your second game, a lot of people were talking about how quickly you developed chemistry with Jimmy Garoppolo, and you guys connected on a couple of timing routes in that game. And I'm curious, I mean, you've played with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. What is it about the relationship with Jimmy that lets you guys get so settled so quickly? Because honestly, we haven't seen him have that sort of timing route relationship with any of the receivers who've been here.
You know what? I think with Jimmy, you know, I've had my fair share of quarterbacks. And one thing that I like about Jimmy is that he doesn't have an ego. You know, he's not one of those guys that, you know, demands, you know, respect or, you know, you're not going to get the ball. He's really a great team guy, you know, and just by just the positive energy that he gives. And I remember the moment I stepped in, he really attacked me, you know, with so much positive energy in terms of the playbook and, you know, what I got and what I got to do. And he communicates very well. He stayed after practice and all the receivers. We threw extra passes after practice. And, you know, I just feel like the timing was perfect. I literally walked to the locker room. I felt like I was at home. They welcomed me so much with open arms and Jimmy as well. And so it was just a good fit, you know. It ended up working out, and, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, it's working out, and you know, but the goal is to keep it working out, and so that's what we're working on.
Emmanuel Sanders here on 95.7 The Game, joining us on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Emmanuel, if I were one of the young pup wide receivers in this locker room, I'm walking right up to you to get in your ear to find out what you know about this league. Tell us what you've done for Dante Pettis, Kendrick Bourne, Richie James, some of the young guys on this team who could use someone like you to learn how to get it done in this league.
Yeah, I don't even think those guys have to walk up to me. You know, when I sit in the meetings, if I see some, you know, obviously I'm going to say it. But, you know, that room also has a great wide receiver coach in Wes Welker, who's been to multiple Pro Bowls. You know, they got Miles Austin, who's played a long time and made a lot of plays in this league. So, you know, I don't really have to say too much, but in terms of, you know, what I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to obviously try to make those guys be the best. You know, I see a guy like Deebo Samuel. I see a guy like Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin. The sky's the limit for these guys. And so, you know, I remember my third year, you know, I thought I had arrived, but I hadn't arrived. And I just kept working, kept striving, kept asking questions, and kept learning. And eventually, you know, I was able to arrive. And so I think that we got a great nucleus of guys off in the wide receiver room, guys that want to be great, guys that want to go out and make plays and don't shy away from making plays. And so, I've really been enjoying playing with those guys, man. They bring a lot of positive energy.
As far as just the physical act of catching Garoppolo's ball, is there anything about it that is out of your experience as a receiver, or is it pretty much a standard throw that doesn't require you to make adjustments or change anything you're used to doing?
No, it's routine. You know, I play with like six different quarterbacks in Denver, and so you know, you just try to play ball. And then for me, like what I've learned through the whole experience of playing with multiple quarterbacks is really just make sure I get my depth, and if I get my depth at the time, it should be there. You know, it always doesn't work out, but you know, and working with Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's big on making sure I get my depth because it makes sure it times up with what he's thinking, because Jimmy's going to a spot, and you know, and that's type of, you know, chemistry I had with Peyton. In terms of Peyton, was we used to always ride, make sure I get my depth. If I get my depth, the ball's going to be there, because this is what he works on over and over in the offseason. It's throwing a curl route at 12 yards. If I run it at 8 yards, then the ball's not going to be there. More likely, the DB's going to bat it down. I think that's what, you know, I've learned even more when I got here. Kyle Shanahan, he kept preaching depth, depth, depth. And now, you know, once you get your depth, then the ball is there, because he works his butt off. You know, yesterday I saw a guy, we were supposed to be in the weight room 20 minutes, and I go in there for 30 minutes, and the next thing you know, I go and take a shower, and I'm coming out of the locker room just like 40 minutes later, and Jimmy's just now walking out of the weight room. So he's one of the hardest working guys on the team, and I think that we saw all the hard work that he's put in, and we saw him unleash it on Thursday, and it was good to see.
You've mentioned a couple times you were excited to come play in Kyle Shanahan's system, and we hear that from a lot of guys. What is it specifically about him that makes it an exciting thing beyond just the average NFL offense?
He's super smart. You know, I've also had my fair share of offensive coordinators, and Kyle, he stays ahead of, in my opinion, he stays ahead of the defense. You know, he can predict exactly what the defense is going to do. And he puts us in a lot of perfect play calls, and it's impressive. You know, I don't really notice it because I'm in the mood of swing at a game, and I'm just making plays, and I'm wondering why I'm running wide open, and I'm wondering why this, that, and then I go and watch the film. I'm like, look at this play call versus the defense that they gave us. You know, it's just perfect play call. You know, and so he's very, very sharp. He's a wizard when it comes to offensive play calling. And you know, I'm just blessed to be able to have offensive coordinator like this guy, in terms of his play calling, but also a head coach, because I love his energy, how he approaches the team and treats guys like grown men. But yet, you know, we have fun, but at the same time, we work hard if we stay and remain focused on the goal ahead.
The newest Niner, Emmanuel Sanders, here on 95.7 The Game. I don't know if you've ever played with a tight end who's better than George Kittle. This guy is special early in his career, and he seems to be good in all phases where a tight end needs to be good. Like, he blocks like a tackle. He blocks like a fullback in pass pro, in run protection. I mean, like, the guy just does everything. And, oh, he might be the best pass-catching tight end of all time. Like, early indications are he might be.
Yeah, I mean, George is a baller, man. You want to talk about personality as well. You know, we know what he does on the field, but just personality off the field. He's one of the first guys to text, if not the first guy to text, letting me know how you know, the massage and the staff and how this goes, and if I need anything, to hit him and hit his phone and let me know. He invited me over to his house, and, you know, just trying to get me comfortable, you know. And I'll never forget that, you know, because obviously, you know, when everything is going bananas, you know, I'm traveling, I'm doing this,
right.
You know, I got somebody who's saying, you know, if you need me, I'm here. This is how it works. This is how it points out. And, you know, I enjoy playing with him. You know, I played with him twice, and I like when he comes in the huddle. He goes, hey, look, we need to make a play. Hey, Eve, we need to make a play right here. This is a big down, you know. And, you know, I respect the guy so much. You know, I'm like, man, let me go out and make a play, you know.
Well,
and
I tell you what, you know, Emmanuel, the plays that you guys are making on third down, those massages must be great.
Yeah, they're working out. They're working out. We got to keep them going, though.
About 10 years ago, it felt like a torn Achilles was a death sentence for a wide receiver, a cornerback. And here you and Richard Sherman are in practice, I'm guessing, lining up against each other. I mean, you can compare your, you know, Achilles surgery scars if you want to. I mean, two guys later in their careers, you're not supposed to be playing on this injury, and I don't think either of you has missed a beat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a mindset, right? You know, when I look at Sherm, I see similarities in terms of our personality. You know, we don't like losing, you know, and we're willing to do whatever we got to do in order to win. And so I think when, you know, once both of us tore our Achilles, it was like you sit back and you say, "Should I feel sorry for myself?" And we're not the types to feel sorry for ourselves. It's like, you know what? Like, a lot of people are going to say we can't come back from it. A lot of people are going to say this. A lot of people are going to say that. But go out and prove yourself. Go out and prove that you can come back off Achilles and still ball at the same level that you were playing at before you tore your Achilles. So that chip was definitely on my shoulder. And, you know, I attack every day from a positive standpoint in terms of, you know, maximizing my workouts when I was, you know, in the training room. And, you know, it all just paid off, you know. Obviously, you know, it was still sore times, you know, even this year it was still sore. But you got to push through. You got to push through the pain and, you know, come out on top. And so that was just a mindset.
This week, obviously, everyone's aware it's a big game against Seattle, a division game. But outside of the locker room, we talk a lot about the rivalry. And I'm curious, as a guy just stepping into it, is that something the team talks about at all? You know, Seattle being the chief rival? And heck, has Richard Sherman said anything about wanting to beat his old team?
Nah, you know me. Obviously you guys don't know me. But for me, you know, a lot of people, they you know, love the whole rival situation. But for me, I feel like every team is my rival because every team is in between me and my goals and in between this team and our goals. And so it doesn't matter who we're playing. You know, we still got to go out and bring our A game. We got to try to bring our A game no matter what. There shouldn't be no extra of saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to work even harder this week. I feel like that should be the mindset every week. You know, and right now we're sitting here 8-0. You know, we're going to get each and every week we're going to get their team's best shot. So that's extra motivation as well. But this is the NFL, and we're trying to chase and do something special here. And, you know, I'm all a part of it. And so in doing that, you know, the motivation has to be at an all-time high no matter what team we're playing.
Okay, if everything is as good as you say it is, where's the one bad thing? Because nothing's ever this good. There's got to be something. You might maybe trying to find a place to live, dealing with traffic.
The cost of living out here is the one bad thing.
Yeah, you can get a lot more square footage in Aurora, Colorado.
That's about here. I've never thought a day in my life I'll be paying the price that I'm paying to live. But you know, at the end of the day, I got to do what I got to do.
You know what I would do? I would just rent if I were you for a while.
Oh, yeah. But even rent, that rent is like ridiculous, you know, because I grew up in Texas, so cost of living there is very cheap. You know?
Right, I'm, a lot more space.
I tell my uncle the prices I'm paying. He's like, what is going on?
and the withholding is a lot easier to handle, too.
Yeah, but again, the weather's beautiful out here. You know, I'm on an 8-0 team. My family is healthy, and you know, life is beautiful, man, so I can't complain.
Is your wife excited about landing in the Bay Area?
Yeah, she is. She's working to get everything organized in terms with the kids and put them in daycare. And we don't know if we're going to put our son in daycare. He's in kindergarten, so we don't know if we're going to put him in a school or not or what. But we're working on making those decisions. You know, there's no rush, but at the same time, you know, we want to get it done.
So I'm guessing your kid, watching his daddy play for the Denver Broncos, turned into quite a Denver Bronco fan. Like, was he heartbroken that you were traded?
Nah, my son was excited to get out here. He loves George Kittle. He follows football. You know, he knew the 49ers are undefeated, and you know, I had an opportunity to go and be, you know, on a great football team this year. So he was excited about it. You know, when I left to go to San Fran, he was upset that he couldn't go with me for the week and a half I was out here by myself. But he's happy to be here now.
So your son knows enough about football to say, hey, Dad, this is going to be better without Joe Flacco. Trust me.
I don't know about all that. My son loves football, man. First thing he does when he wakes up in the morning, he goes on YouTube. He's watching highlights all day. He's watching football all day.
I tell you what, Emmanuel, you said that we didn't really get to know you, but I feel like we did a little bit here. Ever since, by the way, you stepped into the room, everything about you has screamed, this is a veteran. This is a professional. It's good to have a professional in the room, man, for the Niners. You know what good football is. You know what championship DNA feels like. Let me just ask you, does this team feel like it's got the makings of a true contender? You know what that feels like.
Every single bit of it. Every single bit of it. And that's I'm not saying that because it's the right thing to say. Every single bit of it, it's definitely got the right nucleus and the right energy around here to do something special this year. So that's the goal.
Emmanuel, you got the right energy too, man. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you guys.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.